What up, squad? Mizzy World Entertainment is back to present episode 9 of Mad Mizzy Sports NBA, hosted by yours truly and my big bro, Raw Dog. What's the deal, big bro?
Chilling, man.
Halfway through the semifinals of the 2020 NBA playoffs, NBA playoffs. So, before we jump into everything, what's been your number one thing that you've been taking away from the playoffs so far? From the second round of the playoffs so far.
It's intense. It's a lot more intense than I thought it was going to be as far as the physical part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of people who say that the NBA is soft. I think these dudes got something to prove, saying, you know, and I mean, you know, might be going a little bit too far, but it's a lot more physical than I thought it would be.
I can definitely agree with that. Do you think that's adversely, of course, I mean, the stats would show it, but do you think that's what's causing all of the injuries to some of these superstars?
Yeah, because I think that when you sit back and these guys, as much as they say that we don't watch the media and we don't care about what
marketing all them say. Come on, bro.
We know they do. So it's like they find themselves trying to be physical, but you got to understand, back in the day, they wasn't hurting people. Right. It was just a physical game. Mm-hmm. The plays I've been seeing, somebody could have got hurt, especially the one the other night with Gary Payton Jr. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was just right. Uncalled for. So, I mean, the physicality of the game is what I'm seeing that's surprising to me, especially in the second round.
I can definitely agree with that. The first one I want to speak on is them saying that they don't listen to the media or they don't tune into the media. That's all lies. As soon as you step into that locker room or something like that, you got ESPN on, you got Fox Sports on, you got one of those sports talk shows on, you got a sports talk radio show on.
Absolutely.
You're listening to sports talk or you're watching sports talk debate shows while you're in a locker room, no matter what you want
to
say.
But not just to mention that. I will believe it from the guys back in the day, even from AI in them era, maybe, if they said that. Bro, these right here, as soon as you log in, mm-hmm. you're going to see it.
But even still, I don't even think, even with the AI era, because it was so big, and then, like, NBA is probably the biggest ego-driven team sport. You get what I'm saying? Like, it's not like the NFL or the hockey where it's more so about the team. It's more so about star power in the NBA. And stars, they have egos that right. you want to. They need to be stroked, and they want to see what the negative comments is. You right. get what I'm saying? So you're going to tune in. So that's the first thing I wanted to touch on. The second one is people was getting injured back in the day, bro. We're not going to sit up there and act like people was not getting injured. I definitely believe that there were dirty plays, but I believe that that's what occurred back then. Like, people try to be physical, but of course, there's some plays where you're going to cross the line and you're going to injure players. You get what I'm saying? I'm not saying that specifically was happening to all players, but I definitely believe that's what happened to Gary Payton II. But yeah, man, don't sit up there and act like dudes wasn't injured. You fool what I'm saying?
I watched the tape of Bill Laimbeer the other night when they was rumbling the shit on the court. And I understand what you're saying, but it's like right now I feel like the spotlight is more on it because of the social media era. You know what I mean?
Oh, of course.
So it's like the spotlight, like, you're going to definitely get caught more now. And then, like I said, you know, the league not the same as it used to be. We know that. That's just what it is.
It's not. But, yeah, the physicality has been a standout so far throughout the second round of the playoffs. But to touch on, we spoke on Gary Payton II. But let's focus more so on the basketball that's being played in this series before we speak on that specific play. What can the Warriors do to slow down Ja Morant?
Nothing.
So far?
Nothing.
Game 1, 34. Game 2, 47. What can they do?
Nothing. It's nothing. I wouldn't necessarily worry about trying to stop Ja Morant. You can try to contain the people around him. Ja Morant, I wouldn't worry about trying to stop Ja Morant. It's just mm-hmm. not something I would do. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? He reminds me of AI in the sense where he just got so much heart, man.
Right.
When I watch him drive to the basket, some of the plays he do, like, yo, he about to hurt himself. But it's like, mm. he don't give a fuck.
Right.
That's just who he is.
Right.
So as far as, to answer your question, I don't think there's nothing you could do to stop Ja. I wouldn't even try to stop him. You could try to contain him. Mm. You can try your best, but I would focus on everybody else. He's not going to beat you by himself. You've seen that in game one.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to stop him.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably say you just got to continue to do what you're doing. Like they said, you got to pick your poisons when it comes to Ja Morant, and I don't think he's going to continue to shoot at the clip he's been shooting at lately. I'm pretty sure that the Warriors are banking on that as well. That's the only thing you can really do is just hope that he continues, well, not continues, but starts to miss some of those shots that he's been knocking down, especially some of those contested step-back threes that he's been hitting of lately. So that's the only thing that they could probably do is just focus on him and try to see if he can start to decline as far as the shooting percentage go on his jump shots, but going to the rack, he's going to be unstoppable, of course, unguardable. But yeah, what was your opinion on the play with Gary Payton II? Do you see a suspension coming down? I haven't heard anything yet.
He got suspended for one game.
Okay, he got suspended for a game. So
when I seen that, just like, that's fucked up, man. I mean, you hate to see anybody get hurt, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? To knock somebody upside their fucking head, man.
Yeah.
Come on, man. That's not a basketball play, and he probably deserved 2 games, but he got one. It is what it is.
Right. I mean, I completely agree when you think about the reason that they changed the rules and changed the physicality of the game is because you want to see the athleticism and the skill of these superstars that are in the NBA. You want to see high flying. And Gary Payton II is one of the highest flyers in the game, but 6'2", 6'3", jumps out the gym. And that's exactly why he got injured the way he did. As you're Dylan Brooks, you got some jump in you. He got some leap in him. He got some athleticism in him. But you know you weren't getting to that play, and you know you weren't getting to the ball. So to extend like that and then to swing with that much force was just, to me, I completely agree with Steve Kerr. It was a dirty play. It wasn't a physical play. It wasn't you manning up or nothing like that. You whacked this man across his head as he was trying to jump out the gym, as he usually does on his dunk attempts. You get what I'm saying? So maybe that was payback for him dunking on, what's the other dude's name? Yeah.
Baines.
When he dunked on Baines. Maybe that's payback for that, for him dunking on Baines. But I don't know. Yeah, it was extremely dirty in my opinion, and he just couldn't get to the plate. That was the number one thing to me. You can't get to the wall, so why attempt it? That's the number one thing. But to move on, Bucks versus Celtics. Who do you think has the momentum with this series going back to Milwaukee and 2 blowout games with them splitting the series so far in the first 2 games?
I'm going with Boston, man. I feel like they taste blood, man. They taste blood. And not taking nothing away from Milwaukee, because, I mean, obviously, right now, the greatest player in the game, and that's Giannis.
I want to hear what you mean by they taste blood.
I feel like they taste blood, man. They
won a game.
Bro,
if they don't win that game, they might get swept, bro.
But we're not talking about it. They won the game.
Yeah, they defended home court.
Bro, I feel like they feel like
I don't taste blood. Smell blood?
I feel like they fucking taste blood, man.
Okay, go ahead.
So in my opinion, I feel like this was like showing them this can be done. You know what I mean? And like I said, I'm not taking nothing away from Milwaukee. They're a great team, but I just feel like with Boston that they I feel like they struck a nerve with this. I feel like they taste blood in the water. That's how I feel.
Completely disagree. I don't know how he tastes blood from them splitting 1-1 with the defending champs. When you look at both games, they both they were counterintuitive. Like they were the polar opposite games. You feel what I'm saying? First game, Boston couldn't hit shots. The second game, they could hit shots. The thing about it is that I don't believe that throughout a 7-game series that Boston will shoot the way that they shot. I don't believe that. And I don't believe that Milwaukee will miss shots the way that they shot in game 2. I believe that what you saw in game 1 was way more indicative of how the series will go moving forward. When you look at how Giannis is unstoppable, he is missing shots these first 2 games, point blank period. He's missing shots on Grant, and he's missing shots on Horford. He is going to figure that out. You're telling me that he figured out DeAndre Ayton, he figured out Kevin Durant, he figured out all these superstars, but he going to get stopped by Al Horford and Grant? No. He's going to figure that out moving forward, so he's going to be more productive moving forward. You think that Connington is going to shoot the way he did? No, he's going to shoot way more consistently to the way he shot in the first game. And I just don't think that the Boston Celtics are going to shoot the way that they shot in the first game. They are way more reliant on their jump shot than the Milwaukee Bucks are. And we've spoken on this on many of occasions on this podcast. I believe the person that's going to the bucket more than I believe the person that's going to shoot the jump shot, unless it's Steph Curry. I don't think that, and then we've seen this even with the Warriors. What changes them is that they take the easy buckets. Like, even in game 2, Boston was passing up some layups and dunks, bro. They got to start taking those easy twos. You feel what I'm saying? They're not going to shoot the way that they shot that game 2 throughout the rest of the season. The momentum going forward to me is with the Bucks. They're the defending champions. They did what they were supposed to do. They got home court back. It's going back 1-1 to Milwaukee. If they win, I mean, it's going to be a good one. But I think the Bucks had the momentum. I think they showed that they're the strong team. And Boston had to bounce back. I mean, it was a great game, but I don't see Jaylen Brown shooting the way he shot the rest of the series.
I feel like the series about to be 2-1, Boston.
Okay, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll definitely see. Do you think the Mavericks have a shot moving on?
I think Phoenix is just too damn good, man. I think Phoenix is good. And then, bro, it's crazy because I was in there thinking about it. Chris Paul, bro, is just like, I think a lot of people want to see him succeed, regardless of who you want to win a championship. Mm-hmm. a lot of people want to see Chris Paul succeed. I don't know why he kind of get the bad rep that he do in the NBA. Some people say he like the two goody shoes, he a snitch, whatever. But I mean, we neither here nor there. I feel like Phoenix is just too damn good, man. I feel like they're too damn good, man. I mean, Book, Chris Paul. Bro, watching Chris Paul play, like it's just like he on a completely different planet, man. Mm-hmm. And I feel like he's hungry and he got something to prove. Yeah, I feel like he got something to prove.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, if they don't get anything from Brunson and Dinwiddie going forward, they definitely not going. They just have no shot, and they're probably not going to get anything. They probably get a game just because. I mean, you got the greatness of Luka, but yeah, I don't think they have a real opportunity in this series moving forward though. So who do you think needs Game 3 more? I already know who he going to say because he dug in on his side. But who do you think needs Game 3 more out of the 2-1 series of the Warriors? Of course, the 2-1 series that are going on right now. Who needs Game 3 more out of all four teams?
Who needs Game 3 more? I feel like, in my opinion, I feel like Boston need this game 3 more.
Okay.
I feel like they need this. They have to win this game. They have to. There's no fans or buts about it. They have to win this game.
And why is that your take?
Because I feel like it's kind of like piggybacking off what you said a little bit as far as like Giannis knows what it's like to be a champion. You know what I mean? And I feel like at the same time he wants to, and I don't know if I'll be saying his name right, he wants to prove to motherfuckers that last year wasn't a fluke, even though I know it wasn't. Anybody watching basketball knew it wasn't a fluke, but I feel like Boston has to win this game. Boston has to win this game. I mean that's just my opinion on it. Yeah. I feel like the Warriors will be okay. I feel like Boston has to win this game.
I would say Boston as well, simply because like I said, like he stated, I think the Warriors will be fine. I think the Grizzlies aren't favored in this series, so everybody is expecting them to win Game 3. A lot of people pick the Celtics to win this series, and I feel like if they drop Game 3, Game 4 is evident, and it's you know where it goes from there. You get what I'm saying? Like, I just feel like they need this game just because they're going up against the team that has done it, like he stated already. So, I mean, at the end of the day, they got to be prepared for a team that's going to come and show out. You get what I'm saying? So, the pressure is on. I'm not going to say the pressure is on them, but I feel like they need Game 3 more than any other team out of the rest of the remaining teams in the semifinals. So, are your picks wavering though?
Are my picks wavering as far as my championship team that going to the finals?
Yeah.
Nah. I'm still. I don't think nobody's gonna beat Miami.
Yeah, he high. Miami. The only thing that's benefiting them is that you got Atlanta the first round, second round you get the Philadelphia 76ers without Joel Embiid. You feel what I'm saying? So, and then you watching Boston and Milwaukee, who's gonna go into a possibly punch out drag out series. You feel what I'm saying? So that might be the only thing that benefit them. But we've seen that before, where teams sat around and then they come back flat in that next series, and then that team that was in the 7-game series, they still sharp because they just came out the battle. They ready to come right back into another battle.
You always wonder, is that a disadvantage or an advantage? You always wonder that. That's crazy. Like, is it sitting home good or sitting home bad?
I would say it depends on who it is. If you got the best player in the game 9 times out of 10, we know in basketball, they should pull it out. But yeah, man, that's episode 9. Let us know what y'all think, man. Who do y'all think is heading into Boston with more of the momentum? Do y'all think Milwaukee is, or is Boston heading into Milwaukee with more of the momentum? Let us know what y'all think. Episode 9, Mad Mizzy Sports, NBA. Like, comment, subscribe, share. Mizzy World ENT, Raw 810. Gang.